Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12. And we'll be reading from verses 1 to 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the wheat, the heads of grain, and eat. But when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples do not what is lawful to do on a Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry? He and his companions, how he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." Departing from there, he went into their synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Jesus, asking, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched out, and it was restored to normal, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him as to how they might destroy him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have a place to come and to worship and to spend time with you, God. Father, as we just pray for your presence here today, God. We pray for an encounter with you, Lord, for your word to be spoken to us, God. And we just pray for a time of community as we worship and we pray for the church, Father. May we come together to support those, God, who are in need, Lord. And we just pray that you speak your mighty word to us today. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. So how I came about this passage is quite recently. I've been having a number of conversations about grace and rules and laws and what the balance is between the two. And you know, generally, I'm more of the just give them the rules or lay out the rules and say, you know, this is how it is. If you don't follow it, then that's really you're the one that's out of luck. And I tend to be kind of judgmental as, you know, laying down the hammer and saying, like, hey, this is the way it is. So I feel like God's been speaking to me about that, and he has led me to this passage. And you know, today I'll try to draw out some of the truths that he or Jesus is saying by drawing the example of the Pharisees. So within the text here in chapter 12, we see that the Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus breaking the law, or rather, not meeting their standard of what the law is. Because in the previous chapters before chapter 12 and even after chapter 12, Jesus consistently calls out the Pharisees on their hypocrisy and saying to them, like, you guys are breaking the law. And so the Pharisees are, you know, clearly upset, and they're trying to, you know, get revenge back on him. It's kind of like the Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. I know Ricky uses this illustration a lot, but a lot of the times with the Wile E. Coyote, what happens to him is that his own devices comes back to haunt him. Like, he'll strap on a rocket to catch a Roadrunner, but at the end of the day, the rocket takes him too far off and he crashes in the canyon. So what Jesus does is he says to the Pharisees, okay, you want to use your logic against me and try to point out where I'm at fault here. Let me use your logic and just ask you a few questions. And at the end of the day, you'll realize that really, it's not me that's doing wrong, but your own logic that's causing you to do wrong. So according to the Pharisees, the first instance here, they say that Jesus and his disciples are not observing the Sabbath. Because according to the Pharisaic law at the time, picking grain was considered work. And the reason this was because picking grain was considered the preparation of food, and that was work. So that's why the Pharisees were telling Jesus, hey, you know, your disciples are breaking the law. So I'll talk a little bit about what the Pharisaic law is. by the time of Jesus, the law wasn't just the Mosaic law that was handed down by God, but it was also extra-biblical traditions, like teachings from the rabbinic tradition as well as long-standing customs. And this all came together to form what was called the Halak. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it was a collective body of Jewish law that was made up of more than just the commandments in the Old Testament. It was more than just Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all those laws handed down by God. It was their traditions that came in as well. So that's what the Pharisees were judging Jesus against. And by the time of Jesus, they had created this body of law that was essentially a hedge or fence around God's law so that the God's law would not be broken, or to even preclude the possibility of the law being broken. And it had developed into this huge body of very minute rules that was more about following the letter of the law rather than the intent or the spirit of the law as God had intended. And they built laws upon laws, and this really led to a very cumbersome set of rules where if you did one law, you would violate another law. And I'll get into an example of this later. But what it actually did was, instead of drawing people closer to God, as God had intended, it actually pushed people away, because there's no way that people could follow all the laws, because one law would break the other. So how Jesus responds to the disciples criticizing him, or how Jesus responds to the Pharisees when they criticize him and his disciples for breaking the law. So the Pharisees say, your disciples are breaking the law by picking the grain, because that's considered work, as that's preparation of food. So he turns their logic upon them and says, okay, well, let's take a look at David. The passage that Jesus references is in 1 Samuel chapter 21. You don't have to turn there, but basically David and his companions, when on the run from Saul, they're on the run and they don't have any food to eat. So they go into the temple and they take the showbread or the consecrated bread. And that bread was only for the priests. And so he says to the disciples, David clearly violated the law by eating the bread that was only for the priests, the holy bread. And yet the Pharisees still counted David as innocent. They did not judge him or did not say that, oh, he broke the law because he ate the consecrated bread. So he's saying, clearly David is innocent here, or David is guilty, yet you're telling me that my disciples are breaking the law as well. Because it actually says in Exodus that eating on the Sabbath, or the preparation of food, isn't actually breaking the law. We can prepare food, or they could prepare food to eat on the Sabbath. So Jesus was calling out their hypocrisy. And then Jesus continues to say, how will the priests that offer sacrifices during the Sabbath? They themselves are breaking the law, because on Sabbath no work is to be done. But for the priests, offering sacrifices and performing the temple rituals was breaking the law. And later on, when the Pharisees are asking Jesus, or trying to trap Jesus by asking, hey, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Jesus again turns their logic upon them. He says, or the Pharisees were under, they were thinking of, okay, well, if you're going to heal, that's breaking law, because at that time, healing could involve grinding of herbs for a doctor, and for a doctor, that would be breaking law. So they were trying to trap him that, hey, is it lawful to heal? But Jesus asked them, he gives the example of the sheep. If the sheep falls into a pit on a Sabbath, will you not pick him up? Because during that time, saving the sheep, or in this situation, saving the sheep was actually allowed. It was under the principle of preventing suffering to living things. So when a living thing would suffer, you are allowed to save them, even though it's constituted as work, because they were preventing suffering to living things. So he was asking them, if the sheep could be saved, why couldn't the man's hand be healed? Or why couldn't I heal someone if it prevented their suffering? So by asking this question, Jesus completely turns the logic, or the Pharisees' logic and their law, against them. And what did the Pharisees have to say to that? They didn't have anything to say at all. And that happens a lot to us when we're in a debate, or we're in an argument, or sometimes when I'm debating with my wife, there's a lot of times where she'll say something and I'll be like, I know she's right, but I don't want to admit it. So I'll just say, you know, I'll either be quiet or I'll murmur something under my breath or just, I don't know, stick out my tongue at her like a five-year-old. But, you know, the Pharisees, it says here, but the Pharisees went out and conspired against him. So they didn't have anything to say. They just kind of be quiet because they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. They knew that, or they knew exactly what Jesus was saying, like, hey, do you guys know what the point of the Sabbath is? What is the point of all these laws? Because what is the point of the Sabbath? Is it to rest from work, as the Pharisees are trying to get people to do? Or is it to spend time with God? Because, you know, resting from work, we are able to spend time with God. But if you're just resting for the work from work for the sake of resting from work, that's not what God had intended. Because it says that the Sabbath was made for man. It was for us to spend time with God. And yeah, that does lead to resting from work. But, you know, it's kind of like if you're fasting and you're not praying, you're not spending time with God, you're just on a diet. And that's why Jesus was so angry with the Pharisees, is because instead of having all these rules so that you would spend time with God, it was just rules that pushed people away from God. And I know that for me, as I mentioned earlier, like a lot of the times my attitude is, you know, follow the rules. You know, you have to follow the rules. And because I'm just that kind of person. I really like rules. I like structure. I like having things set out. You know, everyone has their own roles and responsibilities. And the world works so much better when people follow the rules and when people follow the rules. And I think for me, it's a control thing, right? Because when you know that people follow the rules, you can predict certain outcomes. Like if I know that, you know, I'm a pretty aggressive driver, or I was in Canada. And I know that if you're in the fast lane, you're supposed to go fast, right? But when you're in the fast lane, you're going slow, it just makes things so much harder. But I really have to look at my heart. I'm like, well, why am I going so fast in the first place? I'm already 20 kilometers over the speed limit. And, you know, that's when you start getting into trouble. So I feel like God has been saying to me lately, like, hey, Andrew, you know, why are you so concerned about the rules? Why are you so concerned about having people follow the rules and, you know, adhering to these standards? And I came to the realization, it's not that rules are bad, or it's not that, you know, I don't love rules, but it's rather I love my own rules. I love my own standards, and I enjoy putting my standards upon other people. And I think God's really calling that out in me, saying like, hey, you know, that's your standards. And, you know, how do I get to determine which of my rules are more important, and whether or not my rules are more important or my standards are more important than other people's standards? And how do I get the right to call or to put that onto other people? Because we don't get the right to make that call of what is right or what is not. God has already done that. And even when something, or we know something is right, and we try to call people out on that, saying, you should be following that, you should be doing this, or you should be doing that, we should be doing that, we're so blind sometimes in our pursuit that people adhere to those standards. Like how, you know, Ricky was saying on Sunday, you know, there's an incident that happened at church, and you say, oh, we should be doing this because, you know, those are the consequences of their action, right? We're so blind in pursuing that, you know, we kind of forget that the person is a person, and that they deserve our grace just as much as we did. You know, take, for example, people not going to house church. I actually remember having this conversation, like, with a house church leader and asking, you know, how do you deal with it? Because house church is an important part of our church, and it really helps build a community. But when people don't go, you kind of miss out on that, and you have people coming in and out, and, you know, there's bound to be flaky people. But there's also people that don't go because something else is going on in their lives, right? As a house church, or as members of a house church, do we start saying, oh, why is this person not coming? This person comes once a month, and, you know, they barely say anything, and when they come, they just receive, and they just go, and we never hear anything from them, right? Should we have that attitude, or should we start asking, like, is there something that we can do for this person? Are they going through a tough time? How can we walk with them through their struggles? Right? And it's not a, and then it's not so much about them attending and them contributing, but it's about us as a church, or you know, as a house church, walking with them through their struggles. And that's what the house church is there for, or at least one of the purposes of the house church. I think another example of us, or at least for me, really adhering to the rules and then that becoming a detriment on my relationship is, you know, with my wife, because I do this a lot to her, with following the rules, because she's a little bit of a lawbreaker. She actually, whenever we play games, she'll find what the rules are, and we'll try to purposely kind of bend the rules or break them, say, oh, this doesn't apply to me. I'm like, no, it applies to everyone. That's why it's a game. There's rules to a game. Anyways, earlier this year when we were fasting, I forget which fast it was, but we were talking about fasting, and we were discussing, oh, what kind of fast are you going to do, and what are you going to do? And I said, well, I'm just going to do a water fast, because it's just, that's what I decided. And she's like, okay, well, what should I do? I'm like, well, whatever you do, just decide and stick with it, because you have this tendency to kind of say, oh, can I do this? Can I do that? And it's like, you know, just pick something that you can stick with and not bend the rules. And when I said that, she got so upset. And she was already kind of peeved off at me that I wasn't being patient and asking her, oh, you know, like, what do you think God is saying? I was just like, hey, just pick something, go with it. So she got really upset. And I realized that me being so adamant about her, like, picking something and just sticking with it, like, follow your rules, set it, really hurt her relationship. And at that time, it becomes this point, this thing of spiritual pride as well. It's like me telling her, hey, look at me. I can do a water fast. I can stick to my own rules. But look at you. You can't even decide whether you want to do like a liquid fast or, you know, no meats. And even if you choose a liquid fast, you're probably going to like get really thick soup that isn't really liquid. And so at that time, it just becomes spiritual pride. And it's pointing to her like, hey, look what you can't do. It's kind of like what the Pharisees were doing. The Pharisees were saying, look at all these rules that I can adhere to, that I can follow. And they were saying to the rest of the Jews, like, you know, you guys can't do it. But, you know, I'm going to make sure that you try to do as many as you can. But that really doesn't help the Jews draw closer to God. Let me ask you this. What is a relationship that is based on laws and rules and guidelines and obligations? It's called a contract. So before I started working at SP, I dealt a lot with contracts and business contracts and making sure that you know, all the obligations were fulfilled and that all the conditions were met by our team. As you know, I worked in real estate and we were the service provider, so the client would also always say, you know, we want this, 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 and this in our contract. And we're like, yes, 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 and yes. So we did everything that we could to fulfill the contracts. And while at the same time, we always called these clients, or we always called what we had a relationship. And I was actually responsible for writing a lot of the proposals. So I would always throw, you know, just grand words and say, you know, we're trying to build on our relationship and we're trying to develop our burgeoning relationship and we want a long-standing relationship. So I use the word relationship a lot, but I realized like this wasn't a relationship at all, because the minute we messed up on a contract, the minute we didn't fulfill an obligation or we didn't do something that they wanted, even though it didn't affect their deal at all, they would be on us like crazy. We would get like 10 emails and we would have to call this person in this country and say, hey, what happened? And like try our best to fix a situation. But our clients would be on us and there would be no grace at all. I came to realize, you know, it's not really a relationship. Like, yeah, we have some sort of connection because of this contract that binds us, but it's not a relationship as how God intended for us. It's not a relationship between, you know, it's more of just a relationship between an entity and not, you know, people-to-people relationship. So God intends for us to have a relationship with other people where, you know, we're not just adhering to the rules. Because in a relationship that is based on love, or in order to truly love someone in a relationship, you know, whatever that relationship is, whether it's with parents or spouses or friends, And it has to be a personal one where our actions are not only dictated just by laws and the rules. We must take the time to really understand the person that is in front of us, the person that we're talking to, the person that is hurting at house church, or that person that is sitting by themselves, that you always see sitting by themselves at the back of service. You know, just going up to them and say, hey, how's it going? You know, I see you here in service, and you know, I just want to know what's going on with you. Or just introduce yourself to them. But doing this takes time, right? Because, you know, after service, you have all these friends that you want to talk to. You might want to go grab some snacks. It takes time to approach the person that's sitting in the back that, you know, you know nothing about. It takes time to actually talk with them and build trust with them and to actually start building a relationship. And while you might have an idea of where this relationship would go, you know, sometimes the outcome doesn't fit what we think will happen. You know, it doesn't fit nicely into our box that we've constructed, and you know, sometimes things can get messy and we might not like that. But that's what God is asking us to do. I was actually, I'll close with this story. Last year during the fast, I had one of my friends from my cafe days come in town, and we were having coffee, and she was just talking to me about her career and wanting to take the next step, or you know, do something different instead of cafe. And you know, most of the time I would kind of just lecture at her in previous times, and I was like, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And I wouldn't really want to listen to her because her problems, to be honest, annoyed me because they were the same problems over and over again. But for whatever reason, that time, I just sat there and I listened to her and I tried my best to understand where she was coming from and to give my perspective of what happened to me when I decided to change my career and to get out of, you know, move to Hong Kong. And during that time, I actually sensed the change where I knew that I wasn't judging her or lecturing at her. I was really trying to listen to her and trying to show her grace and helping her in her situation, helping her realize that there is so much more that she could do, not just in her career, but also the more that she could experience in her life rather than, you know, oh, it's the same thing over and over again. And, you know, at the end of that conversation, she actually really opened up to me, and she's telling me more about her faith. You know, she calls herself, or she says that she is Christian, I mean, Roman Catholic, as you know, some people might do. So she started opening up her faith, and I was able to speak some truth into her life. And at the end of it, I ended up praying for her, and knew that she was really touched because she started crying, and she actually never cries in front of me because she's a pretty strong-willed girl. But she knew that, or I knew that she was very touched. And in the middle of IFC, I was just praying for her. And when I got home that night, she sent me a message. She's like, you know, Andrew, thanks for really listening. It was really encouraging. And I don't feel as hopeless as I did before. And I know that there is more to life than, you know, finding career or finding like the right boyfriend or, you know, getting the best car. And for me, I was like, oh, you know, God, I understand now what it is not to constantly say, you know, you have to follow this, you have to do this in order to get this, right? The exact opposite of of what the Pharisees were saying. So let's close our eyes as Kim comes up for worship. If God was solely concerned about laws, then we all deserve death. And that's the thing that the Pharisees missed, that they were too prideful to see their own sin and their own desperate need for a Savior. But Jesus said it, if they only understood, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. So let's ask ourselves this morning, does our insistence on keeping the law draw people to God, or does it prevent them from experiencing the fullness of a relationship with Christ? You know, Maybe there's someone in your life that you're ministering to, and sometimes you get frustrated because they do the same thing over and over again. Are we telling them, oh, you shouldn't be doing this again? Or are we really walking with them, taking the time to understand, taking the time to love on them? So Father, we come to you today. We come before you and we just humble ourselves, Father. We ask that for the Holy Spirit just to convict us, God, of people in our lives that you are calling us to minister to, people in our lives that you are calling us to really spend the time to care about, you know, whether it's family members, whether it's friends at church, whether it's coworkers. Father, may you really convict us and just give us that strength, Lord, to push through and to spend the time, no matter how awkward we might think it is, no matter how inconvenient it is for us, to put aside, you know, our rules and our standards and to reach out, to call people out, to really love on them. So God, we thank you, Lord. Father, we just pray that you continue to speak in this time of worship and prayer.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to see your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humble I bow down. In your presence of the throne, I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humble I bow down. In your presence at your throne, I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. I call, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. In my life, in my life, be lifted high in our world, be lifted high in my love, be lifted high in my life, in my life. Be lifted high in our world. Be lifted high in our love. Be lifted high. I call, you answer. And you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are. I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue, and I wanna be where you are.
Yes, Lord, we just want to be where you are, God. We want to be in your presence, Father, and we just want to put away all things that hold us back, prevent us, Lord, from being in your presence, from experiencing you, Father. So God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here today, Lord, that we just put away all the things, God, that push us away from you, that push other people away from you, that prevent other people and us from knowing who you are, God. We just want to draw close to you, Father. Let's turn to our community prayer focus for today. Let's pray for those who are suffering from cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray for healing, God, or let's pray for healing and that God does his almighty work in their lives. Let's pray for those who are ill, but have yet to come to know the Lord. Let's pray for these family members that they come together as a family to support them in their time of sickness and to really be bold and to understand and just to show them the love of Christ. Let's pray for those who are suffering from just various infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing over them. Let's pray for God's peace over their heart as well, knowing that He is always there with them despite what they might be going through in their lives. Pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God opens doors for them and provides them opportunities. At the same time, just pray that they are fully reliant on Him, and that in this time that they are drawing closer and just knowing more and more of His goodness, even as they are looking for jobs. Let's pray. Our mission focus for today, Singapore SBSG. Pastor Sam Kim is now there. Let's pray for that church, that God continues to meet with them and that they continue to encounter Him in Singapore. Let's also pray for SP Indonesia, for Pastor Salomon and his ministry, and also for Kupang as well. Let's pray. Let's pray for the missions committee. Let's pray for P. Ricky, Tim, Janella, John Kang, Jamie, James, and P. Sam as well. They've had a busy summer with a number of trips going out. Let's pray that God continues to give them wisdom with the direction of all the mission teams that are going out, and just wisdom for them as they meet, that they really seek after God's will and not their own. So let's pray. Pray for a local outreach for the community center, Igape, Homi, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, Drug Rehab Ministry. Let's really pray that everyone in these ministries itself impacts a city and really makes changes on the lives of people in the city that, you know, are underprivileged, or just the people that they're reaching out to, and that for these teams to be fully reliant on the Holy Spirit to work through them and not on their own strength. So let's pray for these local outreach ministries. pray for tonight's or Friday evening activities for SPU, for IP, for Yahweh. Let's pray for God to meet all the students that are coming for the intercessory prayer team for Yahweh, God, that as people come, they continue to build on their relationship with God as well as one another. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for just such an amazing place to meet at. We thank you for such an amazing community, God. Father, we pray for those people amongst us who are hurting, God. We pray for those people in our lives that just need us, God, to support them, Father. God, we thank you for this privilege of just putting people in our lives that we can see grow, that we can help grow, Father. And we pray that as we walk with them, God, you strengthen them. You strengthen us, Lord, to just build community, Lord, that we can see people becoming, just walking in freedom, Father. So, Lord, be with us as we finish out this week, God. Be with each and every single one of us as we go to work or whatever we may be doing, Father. Lord, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you all on our tomorrow.